Welcome to Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia. This podcast is a collection of messages designed to help you grow in our three anchors of real devotional life, real community, and real responsibility.
We hope that you enjoy this message and that it encourages you in your spiritual growth.
Well, tonight I get the distinct honor of introducing our speaker. Our speaker was introduced to me by a common friend that we have, and man, immediately when I connected with our speaker, I was like, I love this guy's spirit. Like, there was just something about, there's a contagiousness, if you will, to his spirit that I could immediately pick up on. And so ever since he said yes, I have been pumped looking forward to this night. So let me introduce you to a couple things about our speaker tonight. He went to undergraduate school at Winston-Salem State and got his undergraduate degree, and then he got his MDiv at Wake Forest University. So that's a pretty big accomplishment. And then after that, he moved to Richmond, where he worked with a church in Richmond. And while he was there, he actually worked with two different churches, but while he was there, Young Life recruited him because he was exposed to Young Life when he was at Wake Forest. And now he is the city director of Young Life in Richmond, Virginia. So he's got his hands full, got a lot going on. So a couple other fun facts. He is married, been married for about 8 years now, and he has a daughter that's 3 years old, which means 4 years old. Okay, 4 years old, which means his wife's working harder than he is tonight, right? Bedtime right about now, right? And not only that, as I have been in contact with our speaker, I have recognized how busy his schedule is. He last week was at two different conferences. Tonight, he was supposed to be at a meeting, but so he could accept the invitation, he had somebody else lead that meeting so he could be here with us tonight. And I can just tell you, somebody who heads up a local ministry, I know what a sacrifice that is. And so we are honored and blessed to have our speaker with us tonight. So his name is Teont Williams. Will you give a great, big, warm Chi Alpha UVA welcome to Teont Williams?
The first thing I want to come out of my mouth is that it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not, and they are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same thereof, our God's name is worthy to be praised. So I'll bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt God's name together, for the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are saved. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from which cometh my help. All of my help, I wish I had some Bible readers, all of my help cometh from the Lord. Listen, it's live in Monday Night Live. My God. I am extremely excited to be here. I know that the Lord is going to speak to us. I know you all have busy schedules. It's probably right around midterms, and you got meetings and all that, so y'all need to say, hurry up, bro. I already know what you're saying. Now, I just want to just make this clear up front. I come from a call and response background, all right? So this is what this means. Can everybody just nod your head at me? Thank you. Either nod your head. Everybody do this real quick. All right. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I need you to do one of the three over the next couple minutes. Now, that doesn't make you more holy. That just helps the black preacher. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Pete, I'm just so excited to be here. I tell you, this is just the providence of God, and to a friend and mentor, Pastor Rob and his family. Let me tell you something. You should honor people who see something in you. And Pastor Rob, where are you? I said Pastor Rob is back there and his family. And can I just tell you, that man of God just saw something in me, and he wanted to help pull it out. And I'm here because he saw something in me and wanted me to connect with a man of God like Pete. And I'm just so thankful for all that the Lord is doing. But Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to keep my eye on this clock, okay? Because I already know. Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to come from a very familiar passage, but I want you to be open to what the Lord will have to say to us tonight. So let's pray real quick. Father, I just thank you for who you are. You are a great God, and there's nobody like you in all of the earth. Father, I just pray for our time now. God, I ask that you would anoint me afresh. I pray that my words would be strength and challenge for the weary tonight. And Father, I pray as I always pray that if I say anything that is contrary to your will or to your way, I pray that you will erase it from the minds of your people. And Father, I declare tonight that when we leave this place, that we would leave with information for our heads, inspiration for our hearts, and implementation for our hands. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I live in Richmond, but I am from North Carolina. Any North Carolinians in here? Hey, there you go. So that accent will come out if you have not heard it. We say y'all and all that stuff. We talk real fast. I'm going to try to pace myself, all right? Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, Jesus says, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Here's the key. And at once. Some translations say immediately. They left their nets and followed him. You may be seated in the presence. I want to preach for a moment. As the Holy Spirit shall lead and guide. With this thought in our minds. The courage to follow Christ. The courage to follow Christ. Now, I know that in our current culture, we live in a culture where people are looking for folk. See, I'm from North Carolina. Folk to be real, to be transparent, and to be vulnerable. That's what I have the opportunity to work closely with young adults and college students and high school students. And I know that they are not looking for perfect. They're looking for people to be real, to be transparent, and to be vulnerable. So I try to cultivate, Pete, a leadership where we are being intentional about being vulnerable, real, and transparent. So in our leadership, we have, over the last couple weeks, we have been focusing on this kind of phrase, if you really knew me, and then the leader has to be vulnerable and say something about themselves, and then we would say, if you really knew Jesus. So y'all are going to be a part of my leadership team tonight. So if you really knew Tion, I need y'all to understand that I hate large bodies of water. So I grew up in the hood, right? And I was hired for Young Life, and they had exposed me to all these different things, and I went to camp for the first time. I didn't grow up going to camp, so I hate large bodies of water because I can't swim. And then when I went to Young Life camp, I went to this camp called Lake Champion. Now, keep in mind, I didn't grow up going to Young Life. I didn't know anything about camp and all this stuff. And so my very first year on staff, I went to Lake Champion. And they said, we are going to take you on a canoe breakfast. We're taking you on a canoe breakfast. And I'm like, okay. So I remember that morning. We went to the lake, and I didn't canoe. What is that? So I saw this little bitty boat, what I thought was a boat, and I said, You want me to do what? So we're going to canoe across this lake and have breakfast. Nah, bro, I'm good. I'm good. No. So because I had kids, I wanted to be tough. And, you know, I tried to model leadership. And I said, oh, my God, I guess I'm going to do this. And this is the day that I will die. So I got in this canoe. And I was trembling. And I was afraid. And I remember, you know, this little movement. And all of a sudden, I kind of rocked. And one of my kids was beside me. And his boat rocked and it fell over. And so he looks at me and he says, my nickname is Tick. I'll tell you that in a little bit. He says, Tick, can I get on a boat with you? And I said, no. I was extremely afraid of this canoe and just being in a large body of water. I was thinking to myself, Lord Jesus, please, please don't let a wind come through here like you did the disciples. Please, I am afraid of large bodies of water. And then I tried to ask myself, why are you afraid of large bodies of water? And then I remember growing up, how many of you used to watch wrestling? Or you may watch it now. See, I watched it when it was WWF. We had Stone Cold and The Rock. I know y'all don't know about them. The Undertaker, Macho Man. You know, we had wrestlers like that. And so I have two older sisters, but my now brother-in-law was my sister's boyfriend at the time, and he was a lifeguard at the pool. And they would practice their wrestling moves on me. So I would get choke slam in the deep end. They would power drive me in the deep end. And so I realized I must have a little trauma because of the large bodies of water. I'm building my case. Y'all stay with me. And then there was this one moment, Jen, I'll never forget. There was this father and a son at the pool. And the father was teaching the son how to swim. And so while the son was at the shallow end of the pool, he felt very comfortable. He could maneuver by himself without the help of his father. He loved being at the shallow end. And then I noticed that the father was calling him to come deeper into the pool. And so he was comfortable at the shallow end. And then as the father was calling him to come deeper, I noticed he started getting a little more nervous. And then the father kept going deeper. And then I noticed that the deeper the father went, the more the son had to cling to his father. When the son was in the shallow end of the pool, he felt like he had total autonomy. He felt like he had it all together. He felt like, I got this. But as the father was calling him deeper, the son had to relinquish what he thought was control. And the son had to cling to his father. And that's what struck me about this whole ordeal, is that the deeper the son went, the tighter he held on to his father. The son had to leave his place of comfort in order to cling to the father. And can I just tell you, the only way that we can go deep is if and only if we are intentional about drawing near to our Father. Because deepness in Christ requires a desire to draw near to the one who created you. It requires you and I to leave our place of comfort and cling and draw near to our Father. But you have to have a desire to draw close to Jesus. And can I help us tonight? And if we are not going deep in Jesus, we are living a shallow life. if we are not drawing closer and closer and going deep to Jesus, we are living a shallow life. And so, Pastor Rob, in my time of prayer, I was convicted. Don't you hate when you praying? You like, God, give me something that's like cotton candy. Make me feel good. But I was convicted. And I asked myself this question. I said, God, what if I held on to you as much as I do my reputation? What if I held on to you as much as I do my career, material things or dreams? How much better would I be? And the question for you tonight, how much better would you be if you held on to the Father more than you held on to stuff? And here's the reality. We think life to the full is living a life of comfort. We think life to the full. I'm living a full life. I'm living my best life. We think that living our best life means we're living in a state of comfort. And we've been told this lie in our culture that comfort is better. Living for yourself is better. Comfort is attractive. But Jesus will often call you away from your place of comfort. I know I'm in somebody's lap tonight. Jesus will often call you away from your place of comfort. That's why I love this text. If we look at this text, notice what happens in the text. The text says that Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. See, when you're reading scripture, sometimes we try to speed read. You should take your time and notice some of the wordings of the text because it will reveal so much. The text says Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. What struck me about this past November, I had the opportunity for the first time, I went out in the country and I went to Israel. And there are many highlights of that trip, but the most memorable was when I went to the Sea of Galilee. We had an opportunity to literally get on a boat and watch the sunset on the Sea of Galilee. It was just remarkable. And they was telling us and reading scripture, you know, when Jesus was on the boat, and even read this scripture while we were there, but our tour guide was just reminding us of the fact that even in Jesus' day, there was so much productivity and so much movement from the towns. You had Capernaum. You had a lot of his ministry was done right around the Sea of Galilee. So it was a place that was full of life. It was a place that was full of people, kind of like the Commons area maybe here. There was people in and out. There was a lot of traffic. But what I love about this text, Pete, is that it says Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and then he saw these two brothers. And Jesus, being a rabbi, being referred to as a rabbi, I want you to understand this. Rabbis in that day did not seek out students. Students sought the rabbi. But Jesus saw these two fishermen. And notice, he saw them where they were. And I want to pause right here. Here's my first point of the text. I need somebody to understand tonight that Jesus sees you. Young adults, young people. I need you to hear this tonight. You need to understand tonight, just like Jesus saw these two men where they were doing their normal routine, I need you to understand that Jesus sees you. See, because Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat, they only see a fabricated you. We allow people to see what we want them to see. We project certain things to give us status in society. We use filters so that people can like us and so that people can support us. We try to project on social media that everything is all right. How do I know that? Because I'm guilty of it. And I know many of us in the room are guilty of it. But I don't know who needs to hear this tonight. But I want to let you know that Jesus sees you. Jesus was walking by this very productive area. He was walking by a place that was filled with productivity. But yet he had his eyes on them. And I know some of you carry some heavy stuff. The weight of trying to please your parents. I want you to know Jesus sees you. There are some internal battles right now that many of you may be dealing with and going through, and your roommate don't even know. The tears that you cry at night. I want you to understand that Jesus sees you. Some of you have to juggle going to school and going to work. I want you to know that Jesus sees you. Jesus sees the issues that you've carried into class every day. The doubt that you have. The insecurity that you feel. I want you to know that Jesus sees you. Because some of us, we go through stuff, and have you ever felt like, does anybody see what I'm dealing with? Does anybody understand? Some of us, we have silent nervous breakdowns. Screaming for help. But Jesus sees you. And he sees, guess what? All of you. Not the filtered you. Not the one that you want to project. He knows your inside from your out because he knitted you together in your mother's womb. You cannot hide from Jesus. And you know, the problem with many of us, we don't know how to go to God and be vulnerable and transparent because we live in a culture that doesn't give space for that. And so we often project that even in our relationship and our prayer life. We won't be brutally honest with God. And what I love about the Psalms and what I love about David, David had a way of being brutally honest with God. Because if Jesus can handle my sin, he surely can handle my feelings. He surely can handle my questions. And I just want you to understand that no matter what you might be dealing with, no matter what you might be facing, no matter what has happened in your family, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how many questions you have about school right now, no matter what's going on with financial aid, I want you to know that Jesus sees you. And so Jesus walked by the sea. And he saw these two fishermen. And then the second thing I want you to see from this text. Verse 19, we miss it. The text says that he told them to follow me. Huh? Jesus comes to them, he sees them, and then he says, follow me. So the second thing that we can gain from this text is that Jesus will often give a direct command that requires great humility. Jesus will often give a great command, a direct command that requires great humility. Jesus said, follow me. And then them jokers got up. But here's, let me put it to you like this. My junior year at Winston-Salem State, I was meeting with my academic advisor, right? And I was preparing for my next classes. And so here I am trying to be very studious. Yeah. I said, you know, I want to apply. I was a business major. And I said, I want to take quantitative methods. I was trying to sign up for classes and I wanted to take quantitative methods because I was trying to hurry up. And then I realized that the system, watch me, would not allow me to sign up for quantitative methods. And she said to me, well, Tion, you are not going to be able to sign up for that class. Here's why. Because the prerequisite for quantitative methods is statistics. So you can't register until you pass statistics. I feel like preaching. There are some courses you have to take before you can take the higher level ones. Here's the principle, Chi Alpha. Jesus had to make it clear to these two men that the prerequisite for kingdom leadership is followership. The prerequisite for kingdom leadership is followership. Notice Jesus said, follow me and not lead me. Amen, lights. Jesus said, follow me and not lead me. And this is hard. This was hard for me as I was spending time with the Lord this week. And I had to remind myself, stop trying, Tion, to direct your own life. Because it ain't about you. I know that's not good grammar, but it's good theology. It ain't about you. It's about Jesus. Stop trying to direct your own life. It ain't about you. It's about Jesus. It's all about him. You have to follow him and stop trying to lead Jesus. And many of us, we got this thing wrong. We make decisions and we make plans and then we ask God to bless it. Let me talk to y'all. I'm going to talk to y'all because they ain't talking to me. We make decisions. We make plans. We chart out our lives. And then we say, God, I want you to bless this. And then we get mad when it don't turn out like how we want it. We get mad with God and we didn't even consult him. Amen, lights again. So what we do, we seek all these different things, right? We seek relationships. I ain't going to go there with y'all with relationships. Just because they all in your DMs and liking every picture, we like, ooh, yes, that's, yep, that is the one. We seek relationships. We seek careers. We seek what we want to do. We seek titles and we seek popularity. These are the things that we're seeking. And then we say, Jesus, come follow me to these. Jesus, I want you to do what I want you to do. But that's not how this thing works. Jesus said to these two men in the text, he says, follow me. And you may not want to hear this tonight, but we were made to depend on Jesus. We were made to depend on Jesus and follow him. That's why Proverbs 3 and 5 says it like this. Trust in the Lord. 3, 5, 6. With all of your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. You know what the problem with many of us is? We limit God because we try to lean into our own understanding. Stop limiting God with your common sense. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. And here's a kicker. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. But we won't trust him. And sometimes you got to trust him even when you feel like you can't trace him. Stop leaning into your own understanding. Many of us, we apply for certain things and we major in certain things because it makes sense to other people. Oh, my God. I don't want to get in trouble. I'm just, that's all right. I'm just a visitor. I don't got to come back. We trust people, parents, and things more than we trust Jesus. Ouch. I'm guilty of it. Trust in the Lord. I can't get away from this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. And some of us are being called out of our place of shallowness. And it doesn't make sense to certain people. But are you going to trust Jesus or are you going to trust them? That was my North Carolina accent right there. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So Jesus is calling them. That's why Jesus said that the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. And give his life a ransom for many. And Jesus says, follow me. And to follow him, here's what that means. It's just a few things. That means you have to serve like Jesus. That means you have to love your enemies like Jesus. That means you have to give like Jesus. And sometimes that means you have to confront like Jesus. If you're going to follow him, that means you need to imitate him. And so followership means trusting God's direction without all the details. Trusting God's direction without all the details. Are you willing? Here's a question for you. To obey, even if it doesn't make sense. What is Jesus calling you away from? Because to follow him, it literally means you have to leave something. If you're going to follow somebody, that means you have to leave something. And some of us tonight, you need to leave your pride, your ego, your place of comfort, and follow Jesus. You know what Jesus is calling you to do. But because of your pride, because of other people's opinions, we won't make a move. But that chain, I declare, is breaking tonight. After tonight, there's going to be some people that's going to follow Jesus no matter who else follows. If I have to go to Morocco, if I have to go to Richmond in the city, in the hood, which is what I do, the hard places, the places where people say those kids don't amount to anything. There's nothing good that can come from Gilpin Court. And I'm saying I'm following Jesus. Is there anything good that can come from Nazareth? Yes. Are you following Jesus or are you following you? Are you willing to relinquish control of your life? Whew, this is hard. Are you following Jesus or are you following you? Are you willing to relinquish control? Here's my last point and I'm done. Jesus said in the text, he said, follow me, right? And it says, remember what it said in the text? And it says, immediately they did what? It says, well, it's March Madness, so I might as well just use this net. It said, immediately, they dropped their idea, this is how I see it, of comfort. It says, they dropped their nets. But hold on. I did some study. Nets, in this day, it required a great deal of attention. And nets normally had weights at the edges of them, and it was often thrown into the sea, and then they would enclose fish as it sinks through the water. And it had these weighted edges on them. That means that the nets that these men had, it was heavy. They had been comfortable and been in a position where they were used to carrying a net that was heavy. It was weighty. But they were so used to carrying it And this was a position of comfort for them in this day. It was a family business, Miles. And sometimes we get stuck in what people expect. Truth be told, musicians, y'all can come up. Truth be told, we are all drawn to comfort. Because in the land of comfort, there is an element of control that we feel we have. But for some of you tonight, your place of comfort has become a weight. Living for other people has become a weight on you. I'm talking to somebody in the balcony. Living to please your family has become a weight. Doing life your own way has become a weight. What do we follow without question? Here's what I want you to hear tonight, Chi Alpha. You have got to get to a place where either you choose comfort or courage, but you can't choose both. You have got to get to a place where you choose comfort, choose courage, but you can't choose both. There are many of you in this room, you have been carrying around a heavy net. This is the family business. My family told me to do this. I have to go into this business. I have to go into this way of doing things. I have to do it this way. People are expecting this of me. This is the pressure that I feel. It's weighty. It's weighing you down. And sometimes Jesus is telling you to drop that net and follow him. Can I tell y'all? I had no desire to be in Richmond, Virginia. None. I don't have any family there. I didn't know anybody there. But I had to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, "This is where I want you to be." And I was like, "Are you sure, bro? No family. I had a master's degree. And I couldn't even find a job. I had to work part-time for a church with a master's degree. And so it didn't make sense to my family and friends that here I am with a master's degree from Wake Forest University and had to go to Richmond, Virginia and live in a dorm room. But I follow Jesus. It won't make sense. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm still following Jesus in Richmond. There's some things, Young Life was not on my radar. I even told the guy that asked me, I said, whoever takes that job is crazy. And I must be a little crazy because I had to follow Jesus. So everybody's standing. I just feel I feel weights are lifting in here. I feel weights are lifting in here. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy spirited, and I'll give you rest." The problem is we don't receive the rest that Jesus promised because we won't admit that we're weary. "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy spirited, and I'll give you rest." He's saying I'll give you rest if you admit it. Great poet James Baldwin said, "You can't fix what you won't face." Some of you right now, you're carrying a heavy net. Oh, I feel such a release in here. You're carrying a heavy, heavy net. And I sense such a release in your spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I feel such a release in the room. I feel a release in the room. I feel a release in the room. And I'm sorry, I'm a guest. If I'm talking to you, you know you carrying some stuff right now. Can you meet me at the altar? Can you meet me right here? If that's you, you know you are carrying something. Meet me right here. Let's pray. I see you coming. There you go. Thank you. Yeah, I know I'm in the room. I know it. It's been heavy. It's been complicated. It's been hard. Oh, I feel a release in the room. Some of you just want to throw in the towel and give up. If people knew the pain and the agony and the questions that you have about your future, some of you are like, what am I going to do next? I promise you, Jesus is saying, just continue to follow him. You are not here tonight by accident. And I declare over your lives tonight that the weight of the net is dropping. And I come against the hand of the enemy who desires to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, you said that you've come that we might have life. And I speak life over every person at this altar. I speak life over every person in this room. Life more abundantly, life to the full. Because Jesus, in you there is life. Chains be broken. The chain of doubt, the net of doubt, the net of fear, the net of comfort. I declare tonight that it's broken. We drop it. And Jesus, we follow you tonight. We're leaving our place of shallowness. And we're moving towards a deeper relationship with you. We will no longer be at the shallow end of the pool. But I'm clinging to you. Draw near to him. Because he wants to draw near to you. And so I release peace. Some of y'all haven't slept in a long time. You wrestle at night. I release peace over your minds. I release transformation over your minds. The weight of trying to get the approval and appease your family, I release that tonight. Lord, saying, follow, trust, follow and trust, follow and trust. Jesus, I thank you tonight. Whew. Oh, I sense your presence. Oh, I sense your presence. That's right. You can do business with God. Talk to him. You can do business with him. I know. We're on a time schedule. I know, but God is doing something right here. Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. By faith, I want you to imagine that thing that you're holding on to that has been weighing you down. And by faith, in the name of Jesus, I want you to see this in the spirit realm, that you are dropping it. That you are dropping it. Father, we leave our nets tonight, and we're following you. We leave our nets tonight, and we're following you. we know people won't understand. Lord, some of us, we don't even understand. But we leave it tonight and trust that your ways are higher than ours. As Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Lord, I want your purpose. I may have plans, but it doesn't matter if it's not yours. I can make plans. I can have goals. I can do a 5-year and 10-year goal and plan. But Lord, I'm leaving my hands open. I'm living my life with open hands, saying, Lord, direct my life. Father, we seal this. Declare blessings over your people tonight. Somebody's life will never be the same. Somebody's life will never be the same. We declare it done, and I decree and declare that what is coming is so much better than what has been. So, Father, we give your name praise. It's in the name that's above every name, Jesus the Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, can we give God praise? Come on, can we give God praise? Can we give God praise? Hallelujah. 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 Don't allow the enemy to make you question anymore what Jesus is saying to you. You're walking in a new day. You're walking in a new day. Jesus said, follow. And they immediately left their nets. Follow him. And then he said, I'll make you fisher of men. Notice he didn't dismiss their gifts of fishing. He just reoriented them to use them for kingdom purposes. So don't dismiss the gifts that you have. But ask the Lord how you can use your gifts for kingdom building. I'll make you fish for people. So, fellas, I'm going to use your gifts to help build the kingdom for my sake. Because if it's not all about Jesus, it doesn't really matter. Thank y'all for having me. Do not pick your nets back up.
Wow. What a powerful word for us tonight. I want us to spend a moment and have the worship team lead us. But I want to encourage you with this. Don't let the words on the screen replace the words in your heart. If there's some things you need to pray through and declare that you are dropping tonight as Tion led us, I want you to continue to press into that. I believe that was a powerful time that what just happened here. And so don't preempt. If the Lord has more he wants to do as we worship, if as you feel freed, as you feel a release and want to enter into worship, then by all means, let's worship this God who takes our weights, right, and fills us with new life and new purposes and new plans for his kingdom and his glory. Amen. So let's sing this song together. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise your name, oh God. Lord, I pray for every student that dropped a net tonight. I pray that the weightiness would be removed and they would feel the freedom of following you. I pray, Lord, you'd give them the courage to follow you wherever you will lead them. That they would understand that the purposes you have for them are greater than any comfort they left behind. And Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified in each of our lives. Oh God, be glorified in each of our lives. Lord, we pray a blessing on Tiant and on his ministry in Richmond, Lord. We pray, oh God, for a revival in the city of Richmond. Lord, we pray for youth to flock to Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that's on his life. And we pray, oh God, that you would use him as a catalyst for a powerful move of God in the youth of Richmond, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless him as he has blessed us. Lord, bless his wife and his daughter as he has blessed us, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, I feel like we've been blessed tonight. Amen? Amen. Yeah, amen. Will you guys thank Tiant again for coming? Thank you. It's good to be together. It's good to be God's people. It's good to follow a Savior who's alive, and who has scars on his hands because he loves us. He took care of our sin, and who filled us with the Holy Spirit. It is good to be together. Amen. Well, for the benediction, may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his countenance towards you. And may he give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a wonderful week following Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Chi Alpha at the University of Virginia podcast. For more information, you can visit our website, xaatuva.com.